Welcome to GLHF, the world's first podcast in video games. Today in Animal Jam, a children's game that I've never heard of, where we get to be animals that also, for some reason, have pets that are also animals.
And we care about deforestation, which I can demonstrate by clicking here, but I actually can't because we're not using my footage. But trust me, you can learn about deforestation in this game.
Yes. So there is an educational element. I was just commenting on the fact that, you know, since this is made for little kids, there's not actually a lot of words in the game. So you have to imagine what all the buttons mean. And I guess I'm too reliant on words these days. I keep hovering over stuff expecting words to come up.
Yeah, I guess maybe one of the few I didn't realize maybe there are some hidden downsides to literacy, you know? Like maybe there are things that illiterate people are better at. Like recognizing patterns. Maybe we've forgotten. Maybe we've got too lazy. It's like having smartphones.
You know something crazy, actually? And I'm curious to know do you remember anything about how you learned to read in elementary school? Because I was reading I read a whole long article about how they teach reading at schools, like over history.
Yeah. That's really interesting.
And basically, they've been doing a really bad job lately. Which is why, in particular. So many of Gen Z literally doesn't know how to read. And I'm not like saying this to like just bash Gen Z. I'm saying like...
No, I think that's like true-ish. I swear we talked about this, but maybe not. Like isn't like something like half or 60% of... This is probably over-exaggerated, but like they're functionally illiterate, which is to say they know what words are, but in terms of like understanding... Like they reading a thing and actually understanding that what the thing is meaning,
bad at it. There's like reading comprehension is another thing. It's like beyond just reading the words, can you actually like understand the meaning of a whole thing? That's kind of a different thing. I'm talking about whenever they start teaching reading, which is what, like kindergarten, first grade, like immediately when you start school.
Well, the parents usually start a little bit, right? Like I kind of remember. Yeah. Like run, spot, run. Or I remember my little siblings learning, you know, run, spot, run and stuff like that. You know, Jack went up the hill and whatever.
Yeah. I mean, I think I genuinely, when I think about how I learned to read, I remember Between the Lions on PBS Kids. Like that honestly was like a lot of what taught me, I think. And I was watching that a lot, I think, before I started school. And I was a nerd, so I was always like interested in reading. So I mostly learned on my own, probably at home and from TV shows like that. But I do remember in school learning phonics, which is like the actual way that you're supposed to learn how to read, which is how to sound words out. Because if you know how to sound words out, then when you see a word that you haven't seen written down before, but you know, you're able to sound it out and then make the connection. Oh, that's that word that I actually already know. And this is what it looks like written down.
Do you think if you did Duolingo English, you would do good at it? Like if you went into Duolingo and downloaded it, how far into it do you think before you'd be like, oh, I don't know, you know? I don't know.
I think I might just be weirded out by the example sentences they choose, because Duolingo has weird ass example sentences in any language. They're always saying stuff like, you know, I put the banana under the car seat or something.
Yeah. And you would only, because you don't really notice it when it's like another, because you're so focused on like, banana, what is banana? Is it Manzana? No, what is it? It's something that you don't realize what the hell they're actually trying, what ideas they're trying to put in your brain. Bananas and car seats and stuff. So they should just make Duolingo for kindergartners.
I don't know about that. I do want to finish my thought about this article I was reading, though, because I just thought it was really interesting.
Oh, I have a lot of questions, so continue.
I've never heard of this method that they're talking about. Supposedly, with the timelines, like, this could have been a way that I was taught at the time that I went to school. Again, maybe I just wasn't paying attention in school. I do remember at least learning some phonics in school. But the way that has really taken off, apparently, over the past few decades of how to teach reading, is something called the cueing method, which is basically teaching kids to guess what they think the next word in the sentence is going to be instead of actually reading it. So
they
literally
train, like ChatGPT. hold on a second.
So they'll literally do things like, you know, when you're a little kid, you start with picture books and they'll read picture books in class. and say it's like a story about a monkey, that and they'll start reading the start of the sentence because they have kids just memorize how simple words look, like this is our, like the short ones. Yeah. But then when it gets to the more specific word like monkey, they'll tell kids, okay, read the first letter, which is M, and then look at the picture and guess what you think the word is.
Okay. Yes. I remember, and I don't know if it's different when it's a second language, but I do remember there being discussions when we were learning Spanish that the way we were doing it, which is more classically like phonics oriented, was maybe not as good as what you're describing. I remember this being like a thing. It's like, oh, yeah, maybe we should just like intuit it kind of in a way. And then just as we get it wrong, get corrected, and eventually you'll figure it out. So that does kind of make sense to me, or not make sense, but I register that as like a thing that I've heard about that people have talked about being useful.
Right.
You're saying this article says, no, that was the wrong move. We got to go back to Hooked on Phonics.
Yeah. So this is one of these things where I don't remember the person's name. Some educator came up with this theory, published something about it. It took off because teachers think it's easier than teaching phonics. They don't want to teach phonics.
Based.
And just kind of became how we teach reading for like decades, and is just completely wrong. So like all the actual research papers that have come out after this became a thing, like universally say, this is a bad idea. This doesn't actually teach people how to read. Because what happens when you're just guessing what the next word is based off of a picture, and then you start reading books that don't have pictures in them, then you can't read anything.
Yes, that's an excellent point. You think, so wait, but what's the name of the method called? The cueing method, what'd you call it?
It's called the three cueing system because there's like three different things that you're guessing the word based off of. It's like context. It's like what the word looks like in context and something else. I don't remember exactly.
Okay. And so it's like a... Okay.
But the point
so
is,
the person who invented this,
yeah,
surely it wasn't, they weren't trying to, it wasn't a teacher who was sick of teaching phonics and was like, I got to get out of this, right? So there must be, have been a thought, like what would a three-queuing Stan argue is better about it? Because that sounds very, like when you say, oh, what about when you don't have pictures, it's like, oh yeah, that's a pretty big oversight, right?
Yeah, I mean,
but there must be something about it, like, because there's no way it would have gotten as far as it did if it was completely
well
horrible.
Don't get me fucking started,
right? Question mark.
Because
I
was an education researcher, so my master's, one of my master's is,
there's no grown-ups anywhere,
engineering education, and there's just a huge disconnect in most schools all across the board between actual education research and teachers. Because there's,
okay,
you know, there's research journals, but no, like, teachers are busy. I love and respect teachers. I'm glad that we have people that are passionate and want to do it, but they're not reading research journals because they don't have time. And then the school, so really it should be like the school admins, and granted all of my experiences in universities, it should be the school admins that are encouraging the teachers to update what they're doing. But it truly, in all my years of doing my master's, I never got a better explanation than people just don't want to, period. So it doesn't happen.
Yes, okay. So now, just to, maybe you can answer this because of your educational, or your learning, whatever the hell.
Mm-hmm.
So teachers don't decide that they're going to switch to three queuing method, but they are incentivized to keep it because once you switch to it, they're like, oh, sick, this is easy, this is great. So but who makes the decisions? Is it like school boards? I don't really understand how, like,
yeah,
who's,
I mean,
deciding what gets taught.
Teachers,
and
are
then
mostly,
where are they getting this?
Yeah, teachers in K-12 are mostly just given curriculums that they like have to follow.
Right.
Like
within,
they don't
like
really,
some boundaries.
Yeah, they don't really get a
so
whole lot
you,
of choice.
Is this like, so I went to VidSummit, right? And you go to VidSummit and it's like AI startups everywhere, and everyone's like freaked out about like how great AI is going to be, and then you like see what they're doing and you're like, this, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
But is it basically like that, but it was the three queuing method? Is there was some conference that all these people like admin went to, and they were conned by the three queuing god, and he was like, you should use this, it's way better,
something like
and
that. Yeah,
I guess what what did he get, or whoever it was, whoever invented it, what did that person get out of it? I guess fame and glory,
just,
right?
Yeah, recognition and...
Yeah, because everyone likes to think that they discovered something like a hack, you know?
Yeah,
so
I mean,
just like, I discovered,
I can imagine
a
the idea seemed exciting at first because it was new and different and it seemed like it might be better, you know? So yeah, that was just crazy to see, and it reminded me that a lot of internet commenters that you see that are saying crazy things may not actually even be able to read what they're responding to properly.
I mean, a bunch of illiterate fucks.
I mean, literally,
commenting
because
on our videos.
I see a lot of comment sections on TikTok where people are just like all asking the same questions or misunderstanding stuff in the same way. And I'm like, maybe these people actually like don't even know what's going on. Like,
yes. We should have empathy. They're all illiterate. Jesus. We gotta be nice
and
to these people.
And I do.
Oh, man. That's really interesting. It does sound like the type of thing that... Because I could see an argument for, like, in certain contexts, we probably do learn new... Because it's like if you do, like, total immersion learning. Like, we're just going to throw you in. You don't know any Spanish, and we're just going to send you to Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
Rest in peace, you know? Do your best. And you probably would learn it in some kind of, like, context-guessing way. So my guess is this was like a rich kid who traveled for the first time and went to like some country and was like, oh, I figured out a new language. This is the way to do it forever. And then they came up with this.
Yeah, I mean, learning
method.
Words from context is absolutely a thing, but I think you need both. You also need to know how to sound things out so that you're making the connection between the concept of the word and how it looks. Because the problem is if you're guessing everything from context, and you're getting it like right enough that your teacher is passing you, you're not actually spending enough time looking at that new word because you're just skipping over it because you're just guessing what it is.
It sounds like a great way to learn how to speak in a real world context, but maybe not how to like read or comprehend. And so much of our world is reading that's quite tricky. But well, that's really funny. I love when it turns out that we were like wildly wrong about things, and like we're just figuring it out, and we're like
constantly
constantly
that some idea catches on, and we just use it for years and years, and just nobody questions it, and it's completely wrong.
Yep,
drives me nuts in education, especially because I love education and I love learning, and I think everybody should love learning, and it just drives me crazy that. People don't give it the respect it deserves.
Yeah. I always think it's interesting. Maybe you probably may disagree with this and have more experience with it. So just correct me if I'm wrong.
Go ahead.
But I feel like most of the time when I look into things like this, where I'm like, how did we screw this up so much? As you go back through the like each person of the 100 people that had to make a decision to get us to where this is, none of them individually even made like a choice that was like, horribly wrong. Like each person in the chain was just like doing a thing that made sense for where they were in their life,
right?
But then in the aggregate it creates this whole thing because there's no like oversight rules on like we should double check these things, you know, because it's just a bunch of people acting in some way.
And
so
also
the guy who invents
just...
it thinks they're right, and the people, and then they go to the conference or whatever, however it happened. And that's really frustrating and interesting is how it's like it's a whole world of people not doing anything wrong, and then a lot of wrong stuff happens, you know?
Yeah, and it's just everybody's like, it's just the way it is that everybody is also constantly balancing the right thing to do or the logical thing to do, and what is gonna keep them safe or keep their career safe, or
the incentives work
even
against
just
that.
Avoid social awkwardness. Like, nobody wants to be the person that's sticking out and saying this is wrong, we should stop this.
100%. And that's why you need like,
I am.
Some sort of structure in place. Yeah,
I am that person.
You're
but
the,
that's
I mean,
why
you're the one who's they call you no incentive mem
for
a reason, because you get you right out of there. Well, and again, because it is, you did do the thing and it then had the consequence that everyone else is trying to avoid. Which is then why these systems become really sort of homogenized. And that's why you need some kind of check and balance, some sort of way of, you know, aligning against whatever like the natural incentives are. Mm. Hey, I'm going to drop an image into our Discord chat, okay? And I just want you to react to it, okay? This is what I was up to this past weekend, okay? You ready?
Yeah, sure.
And then we'll put it in the video, but I want it to be on a delay because I want to hear your reaction first, okay?
Okay, sure.
Here it comes. Oh, it's for some reason it's an HEIC file, sorry.
That's fine, I'm downloading it.
I could change it to a PNG, but you can download it. Just tell me what you think about that.
Open with photos. This is really dragging out the drama. It's loading.
And what do you see?
It's you at a Mr. Beast Burger. So this is a restaurant that has locations?
This is the only physical Mr. Beast Burger location in the nation or the world even.
Wow.
Which is located in the American Dream Mall in New Jersey. And so I went to
did you make a pilgrimage specifically to Mr. Beast Burger?
I spent well over $1,000 to go to this Mr. Beast Burger.
What?
Because I wanted to know, because I love his candy bars so much. I think his candy bars are genuinely incredible.
I know.
So I got on a plane and I went, I had to ask a stranger to take this picture because I just went alone, obviously.
Yeah.
And I went to go eat one of the Mr. Beast burgers because I wanted to report back for the pod on how the burger was, because I'd heard they were actually very good. And that the French fries were incredible. So I said, well, I like French fries. I like a burger.
Wait, so is it a real meat burger?
Well, no, they have, they got, the
or
reason I decided to go
burger.
Now is because they got an impossible burger.
Gotcha.
So it's like a smash burger kind of thing, impossible burger. So I went there and I am happy to report that I know it doesn't, like, I'm sure he's not even involved in the Mr. Beast burger thing anymore. I'm sure he just hired some people, but I'm happy to report that burger is legitimately very good. And the French fries are insane. Like, so good. Now,
wow.
All the stuff I just said was a lie. It actually was pretty bad. But I just wanted to demonstrate how good I am at lying about Mr. Beast so that people never know whether I'm telling the truth or not.
It's because I can't see you because I'm an expert at detecting liars. If I could see you, I would be analyzing the sweat on your brow and the looking to the left.
And also, if you were in front of me, I wouldn't be able to hold it together as well. It's it's only in my ears. So I have at a great advantage. So I also did not go just for that. I was actually there for other reasons, but we happened to be near the mall and they were like, do you want to go to the mall? So I said, of course, we're going to go to Mr. Beast Burger. You know, I could talk about it on the pod. I thought the burger was actually kind of bad. It was like sub average, slightly worse than Five Guys. Would not recommend. Big disappointment. So
it's a shame.
Oh well, I still stand those chocolate bars, but the burger.
I keep
junk.
Looking
Who
for
cares?
The chocolate bars because I do want to try them, just because you have talked them up so much.
They're really good. They're just very
Wait,
very
is
good
the point that
chocolate
like
bars.
Is the point that you could find a golden ticket and like get $1 million or something? Like what? Because he gives away money. That's like his thing.
Yes, but that has not, I don't think they're allowed to do that because technically it would qualify as an illegal lottery, which they nearly got in trouble for once already. And because like it's like there's some, it doesn't matter, but I don't think you can actually do a golden ticket thing because you can't force people to buy something to potentially win a prize. It has to be like free according to law. So no, the chocolate bars are just, it's a, from the bottom of my heart, I just think they're good and I like that they are. And I've looked into it again, even despite the haters. I like that they are ethically sourced in a way that I can't even eat Hershey's bars anymore because I know how many slaves touched them. You know what I'm saying? Holy cow.
This is how I would feel if I got a golden ticket in a Mr. Beast bar.
Talk about...
Can you see that?
When you say this... Oh, in the... Yeah, I'm not even looking at the game anymore. Yes.
I would feel like this.
I'm looking... Wow, very excited. Well, maybe that's what, because didn't he do a video where it was like real life Willy Wonka's Chocolate Factory? Do you think the contestants
people
who actually
familiar.
Got golden tickets?
I think
tickets?
That's where I got that idea, is because I
maybe
feel like I heard
that.
Of him doing that.
All right,
but
I'll
it makes sense that that would be a lottery and you can't do that.
Yes, I believe. And it's tricky because it's even stuff like someone almost got mad at me one day because I was like, oh, I will give away this map I had for a video because I didn't want it to just any of my Patreon subscribers. And they were like, you can't do that because that's, you know, they pay money for the Patreon. And so if you have like a prize, even that qualifies as an illegal lottery, technically. And that's what Mr. Beast got in trouble for at one point, is it was like some, like anyone who buys one of my t-shirts, they were doing the t-shirts and so they're selling loads of them. And it was like, you could win a prize, like random people who buy the t-shirt. So anything like that, you're not allowed to do.
Yeah, I guess that's
so,
why
golden tickets, the, candy bars, who knows?
Yeah. On like cereal boxes and stuff, when they would do sweepstakes, it would also say like no purchase necessarily. Like you could technically go to the website and sign up for it or something.
Yeah, and that's what it always has to be if you want to do something like that. It just has to be, like, you're allowed... It's really interesting how many... It's not actually interesting at all. I think it's interesting how, like, the rules in terms of, like, it has to be, like, doable, but you are allowed to, like, require a phone number, but you can't require a payment, but it can't be too hard, because if it's too hard...
I think we should just let children gamble. I think...
That's, we should. They can't read anyway. Let's just send them all the way down the path. Who cares? You know, screw them. They're just going to play baby games like this
thing. Okay, and... so speaking of reading and words, I actually have a fun fact I wanted to share. So,
love that.
The plural of octopus, what is it, would you say?
I would have guessed octopi, but I'm guessing it's not that.
Right. So the thing is, octopus singular. Oh my God, somebody's asking to be my friend. No. Ooh. Get away from me. Octopus singular is actually a Greek word, but octopi is the Latin way that you would pluralize it.
Oh, it's one of these things. So it's like
if you were to pluralize it in the Greek way, it would actually be octopodes.
Get the fuck out of here.
Octopodes nuts.
Oh, this is why we need a soundboard.
Got him.
Got to get you a little rim shot for that one. That was very good. Is that true, or is that, was that just
it
for
is
the joke?
I think it actually is true, but it, that I also I don't know. Was just
I would
trying
have
to get
it was
you
like octopuses, you know.
I think but octopuses could also be correct.
Octopodes nuts, I'm looking it up right now. Yeah, it is. No, well, how is it pronounced? Because it looks like it's spelled octopodes, but I guess yeah, it would have to be pronounced octopodes, or else the joke wouldn't work. And the AI assures me that the joke is a very popular wordplay, so it must be real. Huh.
Anyway,
right, well,
so
you learned something
about
new every
your,
day.
So what was the purpose of your New York trip? You want to walk us through this? You flew
briefly,
to New York
sure,
in the
yeah,
middle of
was,
the government shutdown, which
I
is
know,
interesting.
This was planned well in advance. I was listening to a lot of juicy air traffic control conversation. I'll tell you what, some really funny...
Ooh.
Let me be as quick as I can here. So I flew to, technically
no,
I was going to...
Everybody loves your air travel stories. It's fine.
Well, great. Then I'll keep it slow. We'll do a nice slow cook, nice slow burn. I flew up there because a friend of mine who I've known since like very, very start of when I started doing videos is the owner of GoNintendo.com. And so I used to... He was like the first person
this is the
who ever posted...
blog you used to work for, right?
I worked for a blog called NintendoEverything.com. But he owns GoNintendo.com, and his blog was always the biggest Nintendo website dedicated, and I think it still is.
Okay, so you were working for like a second-rate, like loser version.
You literally, I can't even talk about some of the things about it, but yes, you're absolutely correct. A second-rate loser version in some sense. But, you know, they got that website got me my start in doing everything, so I have a lot of gratitude for it. But Go Nintendo started posting Egg Busters way back in the day, and that's kind of what gave me my first real like kick. That's like the first thing that made me famous, so to speak. So I was going out because they were doing their 1,000th episode of the podcast, and I've listened to their podcast since well before I even like
Ooh,
I think
were
since
you on
2009.
The pod?
Yes, I was on the pod.
Yay!
And it was just a big like him and all his friends who normally do the podcast, and we were all just talking and reminiscing and so on. But their podcast is actually, if not the oldest, like one of the top 3 to 5 oldest podcasts that have been continually running ever.
Yeah,
period.
I mean, 1,000 episodes is crazy.
Yeah, started in August of 2005, which is pretty bonkers. So I went on and we did that podcast, and then
yes,
me
they've
and
been
them
doing it weekly
out
for 20 years.
Yeah, with like very few missed episodes. Like, I mean, always the same host. He's always done it. Always the same like rotating cast of characters, but people have obviously like come in and out depending, but it's just him and his friends. Like it's not a professional thing, you know?
Yeah.
So I went to go do that.
Not
and
like
so
us.
We did the pod.
Cause this is professional.
Not like us. This is top quality stuff here. Okay. And so then we were doing, we also had like a day just to hang. And so we went to the world's largest collection of miniatures, like model trains and model cities and stuff.
Nice.
Had weird vibes, had the vibes of like, in the same way that Enchanted Forest does, like some guy just decided he wanted to do this.
I'd probably love it.
It was awesome. Yeah, it was really cool. But the I will say the internal logic and the consistency of scaling across the scenes, not great. There was a lot of like, we're just throwing whatever trains and the roads aren't connected. Like if you lived in any of those houses,
you should probably tear it apart in a 2-hour video essay.
We might have to go back with a camera crew, really take it down. Also a lot of weird like pro like 1950s America memorabilia. Like just you turn a corner and there would just be like a World War II exhibit, like not miniatures, just like uniforms and tank pieces and things. But in any case, then we went to the mall, Mr. Beast Burger, went to the candy store, got myself some nonpareils. I don't know if you know what those are, but
Noah loves those. And I think he's an old man for loving them.
I didn't know how much of an old lady man thing they were, but they are. But we used to eat them. I guess I should have known this because we used to eat them at my grandma's house around
Christmas. It's just a little piece of chocolate with sprinkles on it, right?
Well, but it's like minty white chocolate.
And oh, they're it's mint?
Well, the ones I have, I get, which are like, I don't know if there's a difference, but I get the ones that are like minty. They're colored like rainbow colored almost, kind of like
oh, this is not the nonpareils I'm used to.
Okay, so we different.
I'm used to just regular chocolate ones, milk chocolate.
Okay. Well, the ones I get are, I guess, nicer.
If they're mint, and better that in every is way. More acceptable to me.
Yeah, they're like a nice, minty, whatever. Anyway, that was the trip. I had a great time. Mr. Beast Burger was not very good. Nonpareils, very good. The mall, crazy. Indoor ski slope. I don't know how they did that, but it's really creepy because the ceiling
snow?
Is like... Snow, yeah. It's like you can see there's like a viewing window and it's completely enclosed indoors and it's like you're watching a zoo of people just skiing and snowboarding down this giant hill.
So did they have like
very
the
weird.
Fake snow blowers? Because I went to a place in Indiana that had, you know, of course we don't actually have places to ski in Indiana, but it was basically a large hill where they had snow blowers making artificial snow so you could ski.
Yeah, I mean, they must have. I didn't see them. And I guess if it's indoors... You wouldn't need to continually make more snow necessarily because you can temperature control it.
Yeah.
So, but I don't know. It was weird. That whole mall was very strange.
It's a bunch of humans in a freezer inside.
Yeah. No, it is. It's a bunch of teens. And then you like are in the mall and there's just like teens walking around with snowboards and stuff.
Whoa.
Okay. Sure.
I guess.
And then my flight out was supposed to be out of Newark, New Jersey, which is a famously extremely busy airport. That, of course, got canceled on account of the situation.
Right.
So I had a bunch of options. What I ended up doing was rebooking out of JFK, which, of course, famously is the one featured in the thumbnail of my famous video, which got Grand Theft Auto 6 delayed. Are GTA's airports realistic? So that's the JFK Tower. So I got to go see that in person, which was great. I got to drive all the way across New York in the middle of the day, which was very busy and wonderful.
Sounds like
in
a nightmare.
The fall colors. And the air traffic controllers at JFK are incredibly... impatient's not the right word, but they they don't suffer fools. That's
what I was
hearing.
Because you're listening on the radio the whole time, right?
I'm always listening. I'm always like listening for our name and like I'm trying to suss out like... How are our pilots? Are they confident?
Die.
You know, are they, yeah, what's the vibe? And there was just a whole lot of like, well, is that what I told you to do? Like a whole lot of that from them. Or like,
sassy.
Well, that's what I said, you know? Because there was this one thing where this, I don't know where it was in the airport, but there was a plane that was trying to back out. You know, you got back out. And I guess there was another plane kind of behind them. And I heard the tower call and he was like, plane number one, plane number two. Which is for the same company. So it was like two Delta planes, maybe. He was like, plane number two is right behind you. Are you able to fit? Can you get out? And then plane number one called and he said, well, I don't know. It's I can't really tell from here. How close are we? And then the tower called back and said, sir, you're 2.5 miles away from me. I have no idea what's going on over there. You got to tell me. And I was like, oh, boy. And then the guy said, okay. We can't get out. It's not going to happen. And then the tower said, okay, stand by. And then like a minute passed. And plane number one called back and said something like,
"They don't have a backup cam.
Planes can't even back up on their own. There's no rearview mirrors, no horns, you know, nothing. They're relying
solely on
other people.
They gotta be able to put cameras on them."
Surely they could. Yes, I guess they don't. But anyway, like a minute passes, and then plane number one calls back, and they go, "Hey, tower, we were just talking to plane number two, and they think we can get out." And then there was a pause, and the tower said, "What do you mean they think? Can you or can you not?" And the guy was like, we can. And he was like, "All right, well, it was just a yes or no. That's all I needed to hear. Just a yes or no. Okay, next time, just a yes or no. All right, you can push back." And then they just went on
They're
and on
so
and on.
They're so over it.
I think the JFK tower controllers in particular are like, there's this guy on YouTube. I think he's retired now, but they call him Kennedy Steve because he worked at JFK, which is they call Kennedy.
Right.
And his name was Steve. And he was notorious for just like, they are just so to the point, like, I don't have time for your bullshit. This is an insanely busy airport. I think we were like 15th in line for departure. This long line of planes took us over an hour to get to the runway. But it's fun. I love hearing those like little conversations where like they go a little off script, you know?
Yeah.
It makes me feel happy. Makes me feel good.
That's really funny.
And then
it's funny when you can actually understand what's going on. Cause if I tried to listen to that, I just wouldn't even know what they were talking about.
Yeah. It's a whole lot of like numbers and like blah, blah, blah.
That's fun.
When you can understand it,
did you feel nervous at all to fly in this time? I would.
I have total faith in the multitude of like safety layers. I wasn't at all worried about my life. I was worried in terms of like getting delayed or getting stuck somewhere and so on and so forth. But there's just like even now, so many things have to go wrong. And then at the end of the day, if a plane's going to hit something, like if everything else fails and the plane's going to hit something, the plane itself knows that that's going to happen and then will tell you, "Hey, you're going to hit something." So it's just like, it's so insanely unlikely for there to be like a serious crash in that way. I say this, of course, a week after that UBS plane fucking barreled into that neighborhood or whatever.
I saw that
but
video.
That was just a freak. You know, you couldn't have done anything about that, unfortunately.
Do you know what happened there? I didn't read into it. I just saw a video.
As a good boy, I'll wait for the NTSB report, of course, but it seems like most likely, and this sounds really scary, but I promise this is not a thing that happens. It sounds like they were going down the runway about to take off and the fucking engine just fell off. And once you pass a certain speed, the engine was not on. When the footage of it crashing, one of the engines is gone. And then they found it, I think, on the runway.
How the hell does that happen?
It happened once before in, I think, 1979, and it was the same type of plane. So that's not good. They thought they fixed it.
Loose screws.
Yes. The first one was bad maintenance. They don't know what happened with this one, but unfortunately, if you're past a certain speed while you're taking off, there's a threshold after which they go, "Hey, if you're going this fast down the runway, you don't have enough to stop. You at this point, no matter what happens, you've got to take this plane off because there's not enough left." And so probably what happened is they reached that speed, engine falls off. They don't know that the engine's fallen off. They just know that, oh, there's a fire and we don't have an engine power on that side anymore. And so they're just trying to take it off. Nothing you can do, you know. Without an engine on one side, it's like the plane will just flip over and that's it. So freak accidents, they do happen, but rest
in
peace.
That's crazy. If there's anything I've learned from you talking about plane disasters, it's that they're always much goofier than I think they're going to be. I'm always thinking there has to be, like, it would be some kind of complicated stuff with the computer or like something I wouldn't even understand. And then you tell me it's things like they forgot to fill up the gas.
Yes.
Engine falls
usually
off.
Usually it's stuff like that. Yeah. Engine falls off. Didn't fill up the gas. Pilot gave the controls to his kid. Kid crashed the plane.
Literally.
You know, shit like that.
What the hell?
It's very, very seldom is it like anything other than just like a really, really, like a mistake so dumb you couldn't have planned for it. But then when they happen, then you do plan for them, you know? After the kid crashed that plane, they put a rule in that says no kids allowed to fly the planes. They didn't think of that before. So
they didn't think of that before, huh?
Yeah, they didn't think anyone would try, but they didn't realize they were in Russia, and it was the 80s,
I have one more question about Mr. Beast Burger.
Sure.
Can you describe the vibes of like walking in there? Like, who was there?
It was all children with their parents.
Right.
For the most part. I think the only group that was entirely adults was me and my group. and it was very nondescript. Like, it wasn't, they have TV monitors just playing a 24/7 loop of various Mr. Beast videos, of course.
Sure.
But it felt like any branded store, almost like a Smashburger meets a Chuck E. Cheese kind of a thing.
Yeah, I don't know. It's always a little bit strange to me when celebrities create a brand or like a physical store like that, because it has an expiration date, that kind of thing. Like, it's only going to exist as long as the celebrity is relevant.
Yeah, if you want it to exist beyond that, you kind of have to just dedicate your whole life to making that successful on its own. And I didn't get that sense from Mr. Beast Burger.
Right, no.
Yeah, and again, the food was like, I guess as mall food goes, sure. But it was like worse than a Five Guys, probably slightly worse than your average Smash Burger. I like that they have an Impossible. It's nice. A lot of places don't, but...
He should do a undercover boss at Beast Burger.
He actually should. I don't think he listens to this show, but maybe somebody who knows somebody who knows somebody can undercover boss him at that place. And then I should be part of it, because I've managed restaurants. I could kick them into shape, right? I could be like Gordon Ramsay. Get me in there.
Yeah.
What are you clowns doing?
He'd have to have pretty heavy disguise, I guess, because his face is all over the restaurant.
He would need sunglasses for sure, because his eyes are very recognizable.
Prosthetic
You'd
nose.
You'd have to shave. Prosthetic nose. Yep. A little hat. He could put himself in a wheelchair. That might make it easier, harder to, you know?
Yeah, okay.
Just because you are not expecting that.
Yeah, when we inevitably get in contact and collab with Mr. Beast, we'll let him know about this plan.
I'm sowing the seeds as hard as I can, okay? I'm doing everything in my power.
All right, did you have any other topics? Or I wrote down a couple of comments.
I think that's most of what I wanted to discuss. I wanted to ask, you know, I think in, 90 minutes, you're going to be under the influence of drugs. You're not going to be
right? It's almost noon right now, and at 2 p.m. I'm getting my little gum graft surgery. I feel a little bit silly even calling it a surgery because it's so small, but it is a minor operation.
Surgery,
and I'm a little bit
nervous
about it.
Everyone in the comments said, no big deal.
Yeah, I mean, somebody said it was like not as painful as their wisdom teeth, which would be fine because wisdom teeth wasn't that bad for me. I mean, it did get infected and my whole face swelled up, but...
Yeah, but aside from that, minor
detail.
But
aside from that, I'm not that nervous about the sedation because I've done that type of sedation before. And I know that it just doesn't feel like anything and I don't remember anything. But I'm just not looking forward to being in pain after and potentially having to... I actually still haven't even reread my instructions to see like what I'm allowed to eat after. I assume I might be on a liquid diet for a little bit. But I don't know. I could be blowing this way out of proportion, and this afternoon I'm going to be like, oh, I'm fine. I don't know.
Well, you probably will be like kind of out of commission for like 3 to 4 days at least, right? That's what I'd expect.
Yeah, which is
Did
why...
Did you get all your filming done?
Yes. So yesterday, I might actually do a little bit more voiceover right now when we're done before I go to my appointment. I'm not sure, because I know I will probably be talking funny. But the vast majority of it is done, so I'm planning to kind of just be, like, recovering on the couch editing for the next few days.
Yeah.
To get a video out, and it'll be a little while before I can stream again, probably, but I'm probably being dramatic. It's probably going to be fine.
I bet it will be less than you're expecting, but not nothing.
Yeah.
So, we all wish you the best of luck. I guess by the time they hear this, you'll actually probably be back to normal, so...
Yeah, maybe.
There you go. We'll see. You got questions?
I wrote down a couple comments. You know, I got a lot going on, so I wasn't actually able to read all of the comments, but I wrote down a couple
of them.
That's
fine.
Caleb said, "Mem, have you been to the Oregon Country Fair?" And I do have some things to say about the Oregon Country Fair.
Okay.
Have you heard of this at all?
This must not be... I have not. This must not be a Ren Fair.
Similar crowd. Similar crowd, maybe.
Okay.
There is an overlap in the Venn diagram, I would guess. But I gotta be careful what I say here because some people love Country Fair. It's like their whole thing.
Well, now we know you don't.
It's not a normal fair. It is in the woods in the summer, which where I am is very dry. So the ground is dust, basically. And with all the people walking around in the woods, you basically are caked in dust within 20 minutes.
Okay.
And it's like a hippie festival. So there's people walking around topless and body painted. There is some music that usually is not necessarily my thing. You know,
I don't know. Stuff.
Like hippie bands with like drums and banjos and stuff. I don't know. I've heard that the music is better at night. So there's this whole interesting like...
Yeah, it turns into, actually it turns into like K-pop at night, which is weird.
Well, I've heard there's more like kind of EDM stuff at night. But here's what's interesting is it's actually only open to the public during the day. So there's this whole like... a caste system where if you have access at night, it means that you work for one of the booths or you know somebody. So it's like a special club of people that get to be there at night and actually like camp overnight.
Oh, okay.
So a lot of people like love Country Fair because they go and camp because they know people or they work at a booth. Like it's like a thing that people want to work at a booth in order to have access to like the night side of it.
Right.
Which I've always heard also involves a lot of drugs, but some people are going to get mad at me because it's not really about that. It's about the community and the music, but there is also a lot of drugs happening, I think.
Well, I think people love a good, I wouldn't say clean, but a good clean place to do a bunch of drugs and listen to music, right? That's like a big appeal for festivals.
Yeah.
And it's not like you wouldn't go if there wasn't drugs, but probably a lot of people wouldn't go if there wasn't drugs, which is fine. It's fine. You're allowed to do that. It's no big, well, you're not allowed to.
I do think,
you know, but you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I think some of that attitude is because the daytime festival, I think it's supposed to be sober. So a lot of people see it, the daytime part is like a nice place to go and like do a festival type of thing if you are sober, because you're not going to be tempted because they don't sell alcohol and stuff.
Yeah.
But the nighttime is different. Anyway, I am not into Country Fair mainly because of the being caked in dust thing. And it's very hot and uncomfortable. And I don't know.
Yeah, it's kind of like a little mini sort of EDC Burning Man hippie fest, it looks like.
Yeah, I mean,
the nighttime looks fun. It's like real neon and everyone just hanging out, being all neon. And there's a Ferris wheel. Yeah, I guess it's a mix of like a county fair. Literally, I guess it's a county fair.
And country like fair. Country fair is what it's called.
But it's like a county fair. And it's not a... Well, I guess...
Well, no, there's no like
cake?
Farm stuff.
Oh, this picture makes it look like there is. Well, it makes it look like there's like carnival rides.
No.
Maybe there's not. Maybe I'm looking at something else. All right, well, never mind. I take it back.
Country fair is a bunch of people in costumes in the woods. And I went there once... as a kid when we like first moved to Oregon, because my mom was like, let's check out the local culture. And I think that's the first time that I saw boobies, because there's ladies walking around with their boobies out. And I was like 11.
well, it couldn't have been literally. Oh, never mind. I'm not going to go down that road.
Well, sure. The first time I remember, I'll say that.
Whatever. It's fine. Yeah. okay. Well, is it like near? Well, I don't want to ask where it is. It's out in the middle of nowhere, though.
Yeah, I mean, in the fields.
All right.
Shout out to the Country Fair people. The people that love Country Fair, don't get mad at me. It's just not my thing, but I'm happy for you that you enjoy it. That's my statement. Don't cancel me.
The only thing I've read, I searched up Oregon Country Fair Reddit, right? And so I'm reading on one of the subreddits. It says, bring lots of cash.
That's
the ATM machine
the
doesn't work half the time. The ATM machine is located next to the naked beardo sitting with his balls out in the dirt. So there you go. that gives you a good sense of what's going on there. And hey, if that's what you want to do, it's a little vaudevillian kind of country fair. Doesn't sound bad.
Maybe I should go again someday just to see. I literally think I've only been one time.
It might hit different when you're an adult.
Maybe I could be painted up.
You could try it. You know, you try anything twice, I guess, if you've already gone once.
And I could buy a bunch of objects made of wood and cloth and...
Yeah, sorry, just kind of spin them around.
Just scrolling through the website. There's always a bunch of stuff to buy at these things that you can't really imagine what you're actually going to do with when you get home, but it seems like a good idea at the time.
That's what it's like, the Ren Faire, yeah.
Yeah.
You're like, I need a knife and I need a snake made out of a bone and...
Dude, knives...
All sorts of random stuff.
I'm sorry, I will never understand guys' obsession with buying knives. I don't know what they're planning to do with all these knives. Guys love buying knives.
Well, knives, swords, I mean, guns. We just like weapons, you know? We're kind of weapon... We love shooting people.
So is there an actual fantasy of, like, somebody breaking into your home and you using it, or you just like holding it and looking at it?
100% it's just that I like holding it and looking at it. To be clear, I don't own any knives.
Right.
So I've never actually bitten the bullet. But sort of like with model trains, I'm just like, I just like how it looks. I just want to hold it. You know, I don't... Would it ever be useful? Probably not.
The closest I've ever got...
If it is, it would be in like a survival situation. Like, I need to chop some wood to make firewood.
Yeah, that's what I would think. Because the closest I've got to that feeling, I think, is when I was a kid and I went to Mexico once and I was looking at some knives. Or like, I don't even know if they were really knives because they were like ceramic blades or whatever that were all like decorated and some to a restore. But... what I was imagining myself doing with it is like a survival thing. I would be like badass surviving in the woods, like cutting rope.
Yeah. And I think there's probably a certain type of life. Like if you live out in the middle of nowhere, like worked on a farm or whatever, or if you camp a lot, like they do have a use. But if you live in like a city, the only thing you use them for is like opening boxes, you know?
Exactly.
It's nothing crazy, but it's useful for that. You know, it works. I've used a knife around for all sorts of random little things. So it's a tool, but
sure.
Yeah, it's the obsession. Why do I need 7? I don't know.
But yeah, next, maybe you can plan a future Oregon trip where you come during country fair. It's like in the middle of summer.
We're going at night then.
If you hate the Ren Faire, you're going to hate this too.
That's true. Any drugs that could get me over my hail to the tipper issue. There's nothing out there, so I would need to be twilight sedated to get through it, I think.
Anyway, so the other comment that I had was more of a story. So I don't know if you read this one about... It involves Dr. Pepper. Have you read any of the comments?
Some of them, I think, maybe. Dr. Pepper.
Hylian Spots has... And I might, like, paraphrase a little bit, but has this story about going to the optometrist and they're scanning his retinas, or her, I don't know who this is. They're scanning their retinas and the lady says, "You drink a lot of Dr. Pepper, huh?" And so they're wondering what the hell drinking Dr. Pepper would affect your retinas for.
No. Which, no shot.
Which I am also
wondering.
They just
had Dr. Pepper breath. I guarantee you they drank Dr. Pepper right before and they forgot. And the dentist was like...
I googled this.
Well, Dr. Pepper.
I googled like Dr. Pepper retinas or whatever. And the only thing I could find was a Reddit thread from 4 years ago with this same story. So I don't know if that's you or you copied the story.
Whoa.
I hope you didn't copy it and it's actually also you. Because they said they've been wondering for years why this happened. But the comments on the Reddit were like, you probably just smelled like Dr. Pepper.
Yeah, almost certainly they like were just like nastier than they thought they were. And they spilled Dr. Pepper on themselves. And like, so the dentist was just like making fun of them
Imagine they were just wearing a Dr. Pepper t-shirt and they just didn't realize.
Right. They've got cans hanging out of their pockets.
Yeah.
It's probably something like that.
But I did find that obviously sugary drinks can give you diabetes and then diabetes can affect your
For sure.
retinas.
Yes. So maybe the other possible option is their eyes looked like diabetes eyes and the dentist was... They had diabetes eyes and the optometrist was just basically saying like, you get a lot of sugar, don't you? And they were using Dr. Pepper as like a funny stand-in for like, boy,
yeah,
you sure eat a lot of cake, don't you? You know, just as like a way of saying that. When they really should have said, oh, you have signs of early onset diabetes, that would have been the more professional thing to say. Instead, they decided to make a joke about Dr. Pepper, but...
Roasted!
I don't know. Boom.
By the way, still haven't had Dr. Pepper. I think it might have been... How long has it been, actually? I'm going to go check...
2 weeks?
I blue-skied about quitting Soda, and I'm going to go check when my blue ski was.
All right.
It was...
Bleesk-a-did.
10 days ago when I said I hadn't had it for 3 days, so it's been like almost 2 weeks probably.
Wow. Congratulations.
Now, I am lying because I've had two root beers, but I haven't had Dr. Pepper.
I like this is the second time in the show that one of us has said something and then say, by the way, that was a lie.
Listen, I had a couple root brewskis over the weekend.
Yeah. Hey, it happened. It was nighttime at the Oregon Country Fest.
Social root beer drinking.
Exactly.
I was out at a restaurant. I said, you know, I mean, that's going to be the hard part for me. And I realize I do actually sound like an alcoholic or something, is when I go out to restaurants with people, I want a little soda. I just want a soda at the restaurant.
That's okay. You can do that.
But I still haven't drank anything with caffeine.
What have you replaced you might have mentioned this, but what has you replaced the ritual? Like, you know how you would always go to the corner store?
I just don't do it anymore.
You don't even go for a walk?
No.
Oh, that's sad. The guy probably misses you.
I wonder.
Probably thinks you died from drinking all. He probably thinks you went blind from drinking all the Dr. Pepper. Couldn't make it to the store.
My retina's detached from my Dr. Pepper induced diabetes.
Yep, that's the way it goes.
No, but I just haven't been going on walks because I almost never go on walks that don't have a destination. I think that's like part of why I liked the ritual of going to the convenience store, is because like I feel kind of silly just walking in circles and then coming home.
Well, go to the convenience store and just go say hi.
Just say hi.
Hey, how's it going? All right, I'm leaving. Or get a bottle of water.
I'm not gonna pay for a bottle of water, but that's all I've replaced the soda with. I just drink water now.
Do you feel any different?
No. Not at all.
Yeah, that's the way those things always go. People are always talking like, oh, it'll fix everything. No,
exactly. That's what I realized. One of the first things I said when I went to Japan for 5 weeks and I had been there for like 2 weeks eating extremely healthy home-cooked Japanese meals that are basically just all vegetables.
Yes.
Is I said, you know what? I feel exactly the fucking same as when I ate whatever I wanted.
Nothing changes. There's no way to fix anything.
Eating healthy, you're going to feel more energized, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, I feel normal. I feel the same.
Have you had anything in life that when you switched to doing it, it actually had a positive effect that you were able to feel in like the short term? Is there any life changes?
I will say...
Exercising, Pilates, you know?
Exercising, I honestly don't think that the daily effect of like how I feel in general is that big. But what I do like about doing the treadmill a lot is that I notice like my stamina doing like hiking and stuff is way, way higher.
Yes.
I can do way more hiking. Yeah. And that actually happened really quickly. Like I only started doing the treadmill regularly for like 2 weeks and was immediately able to like do hikes way more than I would have been able to before. So that is cool because I like hiking. I like getting out in nature and I like not feeling winded.
But aside from that, no, life is
but
just
I
life.
I honestly can't say that it has like made my sleep better, made my mood better, like all this other stuff that people say it does. I don't know.
Yeah. I think the two things I've noticed that when I changed them, they really helped were one, if I starve myself before bed, I might have talked about this before, but if I don't eat for like the 5 hours before going to bed, if I go to bed like actively hungry, I sleep better and I don't have any of the nightmares. It's just smooth sailing. And then the other thing was when
caffeine. If I'm hungry, I'll get up and eat something.
Yeah, it can go either way for sure. But as long as I'm exhausted enough to fall asleep, I could sleep way better and I felt like I needed less sleep. And that was especially the case when I stopped drinking caffeine, which I'm no longer doing. I drink tons of caffeine.
Oh, officially?
Again. But when I... Yeah, I'm all the way in.
I feel like every other pod I hear
stopped,
that you've quit caffeine or you've started again.
And I'll tell you, every other day, it feels like I'm just a new person. But that was a stark difference. Like, I had more energy, like way more energy after work. When I was working in food service, I would come home and like feel good. Like I would feel excellent. I'd sleep better, wake up easier, sleep less overall. It was just like a huge improvement. But
all right,
those are the only two things. Everything else, vegetarianism, any other switches, made no difference. None.
And I'm sure it depends heavily on the person. And I'm happy for everybody that is able to make healthier choices and actually feel a lot better. But I guess what I'm saying is I'm just eternally fucked no matter what I do.
Well, you could see it in the opposite light, right? Which is you're impenetrable. You're completely, you cannot be shaken from this place that you're in.
Yes.
Which could be a positive.
I'm a steel and concrete monolith.
Exactly.
Unchangeable.
Yep. No earthquake is going to shake this structure loose.
Can you believe we've done, what is it, 43 of these or something?
Getting dangerously close to a year, right?
When was
our first one?
Let me check. Our first one was
enough that we're
like
probably
right after Thanksgiving.
Close.
So our two episodes from now is going to be our official like 1 year episode, I think. Like it'll come out 1 year after the last one came out.
Can you imagine doing 1,000 episodes? Holy Christ.
No. But I just want to say...
A year feels monumental.
I think we've done pretty good, because what? By the time we get to 1 year, we will have done like 46 or something, which is not even that bad. Like, I feel like we skip all the time, but we actually haven't skipped that many.
I feel good about it. I think it's... I really enjoy... This is one of my like favorite little things to do through the week. Just like an easy peasy... I just like having a chat.
Yeah,
you know,
same.
This feels closer to... You know, obviously we're both doing bits constantly back and forth, but it's closer to like just hanging out than my YouTube videos are.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's nice to just be like, I'm just chilling, just lying on Mr. Beast's behalf and talking about dental surgery, just stuff that I normally do.
It's a good time. I'll try to think of something exciting we can do for the 1 year episode, maybe.
There's got to be something. We'll take suggestions.
I don't know if you've cut something.
Yeah. Oh, fun. Copy all the transcripts into a thing that sorts it into a bunch of quiz questions, or just get the audience to come up with stuff.
Oh, we should just quiz us about our own memories and I'll get everything wrong.
We totally should do that. Because I guarantee you, like, if we could get a way to search through all the transcripts, it could probably pull out so many instances where on one episode we said one thing and on another
absolutely,
episode we said the
absolutely.
Exact opposite. It could just be a complete, like, or just, like, pointing out everything.
We've definitely told several stories, like, 3 different times.
Yes. I would want to know all those stats. I would just want to have everything fact-checked for once, you know?
Oh,
just
God.
Just everything we've ever said. Have someone go fact-check all of it. It'd be hilarious. So we got options, is the point.
Okay.
Plenty of options.
Well, thank you guys for listening. I appreciate our pod audience.
Oh, I thought you stopped the recording a long time ago.
I don't know when Ethan's going to stop it. I got no clue.
All right. Well,
but that's actually a problem.